Welcome to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. Praise the Lord. It's been an interesting time. Still working on getting back into order and getting things back going the way I'm supposed to have it. But I'm doing better, and I praise God on that one. I hope everybody else is too. We find that way that this weather definitely cool helped us out a little bit. It wasn't as bad out there as it was. But we don't like what we see might be coming here either. I don't know if we're going to have a early fall. I don't think so. I hope not. But it's supposed to get warm again for a while. So enjoy it while we have it, and we're going to keep on going from there. Otherwise, we'll just have to go out west and see Doug and Sujean. You don't mind us all getting on the bus and coming over and seeing you, huh? Or fly, okay. So, anyway, that's the way. Praise the Lord. We're just all excited about what God's doing in this time and what's happening. Hope everybody's still doing well and things are going. And last year, I heard a prophecy. It was in November. It was about an arrow was in the bow. And he said that when that arrow was shot, it would hit the hearts of the evil, and angels would take demons down to hell at that point. Then it says the wind is going to blow, and angels were going to the storehouses and bring out blessings. I said, wow. There's been a lot of discrepancy on different ways and things, what's happening, what's going on. So this is kind of an area that you've got to get into. It has to be in agreement with your spirit. I'm not going to say this is, for me, my spirit is saying it's true. I've always felt this for a long time. Before the end time actually happens, before we're gone, some people believe in rapture, some people don't. I believe in rapture because I look at it from the kingdom understanding. It says, he who holds him back, in 2 Thessalonians 2 says, he who holds him back is removed. He will, you know, he will still be held back. It's the same thing as when Adam in the Garden of Eden was a king. He had the authority and power. And Satan was right there. But until he sinned, he lost the authority of the kingship. Then he went from there. That's when Satan became a prince. The prince was under the authority of the king. And Adam lost everything, and he became under the authority of the prince. And that's why the law was there to get through there. But what's happening is, in the kingdom understanding, since Jesus died on the cross and the Holy Spirit came back in us, we're now walking around, in, as Revelation 1:6, as the kings and priests. And because of that, when you're walking around with kings and priests, you have authority over the devil. Because in Revelation 12, it also says that he got kicked out of the second heaven. And then he cast down under our feet. Now, how can he be under your feet? It's all about kingdom authority. Because if God made us a king in Revelation 1:6, I made you, Jesus made us a king and a priest. He says, now if we're a king, where's the prince? It's got to be under our feet. And that's according to Revelation 12. He did that too. So if you're looking at that, the Holy Spirit in us is what's holding back them. And God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's not just going to pull the Holy Spirit out, take him back home, and then all of a sudden leave us there. That's why the 10 virgins were talking about that, where you have 5 are ready and 5 are not. 5 are filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to go, and 5 are not. And so this is the whole process. There's a lot of discrepancy on that. Some people agree, some people don't. And I'm not going to get in an argument or not talk any more about that other than just to say that's the way I believe it to happen because I look at it from the kingdom understanding. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a reason, because there's a kingdom understanding and principles that was making things happen. So, and I've been really going through a process of renewing my mind. I renewed my mind a lot through the years. When I was in Dutch Reformed Church, when I was 30 years old, I was divorced and went through, had lost a child, and my dad's dealership that he had. I wanted to be, I had a lifetime dream of being in the dealership with him, and the company came down and said they wanted him to make an offer, him and his partner, and I was going to buy the partner out. We were going to run the dealership, in my opinion, and my whole life was shattered because it was taken away within a night. They went up in one day, and then they came home the next day, and it was gone. They didn't own it anymore. They sold it because they were kind of forced into it. There's a lot to it. But the whole process, I'm miserable. Everything was going bad. Everything was going bad. Everything I touched fell apart. And I says, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be more than what I've got. There's got to be more than what they're telling me. There's got to be something that I'm missing. I didn't know what it was. Well, after a divorce for a year, I ran across Debbie, and we got married, and we went to a First Assembly of God church. My mother said, don't ever do that, because if you do that, you're going to have a problem. You know, these people, they just get all psyched up, and they fall in the spirit just because they're psyched up. Well, I was in the meeting, and it was a worship service, and all of a sudden my eyes went to the right, and I says, I don't know what that is, but I need that, and that was the Holy Spirit. I didn't even see anything, but it was the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit walked by, I said, that's what I've been looking for. It still took me several years to get what was that, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, get revelation, knowledge, and understanding, and it's been taking a long process. So I've been renewing my mind a long time, but back when I was 30 years old, I said, I'm going to open my mind, I'm going to open my heart, but I'm going to keep my spirit protected. If I hear things, I'm not going to believe it at first. It's going to take me a while before I can really get the revelation of whatever I need to get revelation. I know now it's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll tell you what's going on. He teaches you all things. I'm not teaching you today. The Holy Spirit's teaching you. I'm speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit that needs to speak to you. And if you listen and hear and understand, if you hear anything wrong, you can always come and talk to me, and we'll work it through and do what we need to do. I've always been that way. I've always had people, and I've had some people come up and tell me some things, and I was wrong. And I'm glad they told me, because I needed to learn what was right. And I did not want to hurt people or cause any people any problems. So I went down through there, and I remembered when I was getting ready for this meeting, because I was talking last week about healing and what was going on. I was going to go that way again this week, but the Lord just really hit me hard about this prophecy. And the arrow has been shot. It was the election of Trump. And what has happened is he's been going after the evil. It's really hurt the hearts of the evil. In the process, I said, wow, there's a lot of things that the Lord's been showing me, and I'm not going to be able to explain the whole thing simply because it's too far in depth. You'd have to do some real studying to see what's going on and what's happening. But the reality is the enemy had 4 years from 2020 to 2024 of being able to do what they want to do, how they want to present themselves, how to, you know, look at all the people that came in from other countries. Look at what they did with, you know, the children of really coming against and trying to change their genealogy, change their, you know, their life, their natural way of being. They start doing all this stuff, and they kind of had a free realm for 4 years, and they were really impacting it strongly. And it looked like what they were trying to do was bring back the one, or start to bring in the one world order. And you had a lot of things were starting to come that way, and things were happening. And they wanted to take everybody and change the culture. They wanted to change what was going on. They wanted to bring us under control. They wanted to make us puppets and then turn around and go out in fact, they wanted to get rid of a lot of people during that time period, which they did in different ways that they used and so on and so forth. And I'm not going through that whole thing because we lived through that time. So we know some of the stuff that was going on. So this is part of what's happening, is that four-year section started to get ground real strong. But along with this arrow, it says after that happens, and the arrow would go in and start to hit the hearts of the evil, he said the wind is going to blow. The wind is going to start to blow. And angels are going to go to the storehouse and bring blessings from the storehouse to you to meet your needs during this time period. Now, I've heard many times we're sitting around and I've heard some people that saying, oh man, things are going to get really tough and rotten, and I'm not saying they aren't, because they probably are. If you look at what they're doing right now, look at the protests. What are they protesting? Why are they protesting? They're mad because they're losing ground. What ground they made in those 4 years, they're losing it very quickly. And they don't want to lose it. So it's not them, it's the spirits behind them. They wanted to achieve their goals, and their goals are being destroyed and removed. And that's what's really been happening. And I took in, since 2020 election, Satan's plans to take over the world and bring the one world order, the way it's going to happen was the top leaders were ingrained in evil. The top leaders are ingrained in evil. That's why there was a lot of things, if you start to see, there was witches and warlocks and all kinds of things that are out there that were starting to pray and seek and find out what was happening. All these things were going on, and they were working with the top leader. And how? What happens when somebody started to come against them? They throw them in jail. They would throw a lawsuit against them. They would give, you know, you couldn't say anything. They made you so fearful that you couldn't do or say anything because you didn't have any rights, because they were in charge and they were making it going. That's why those things were so powerful. But that's why I believe, and I've been believing that for some time, that the Lord, you know, when I was praying one time, he just said, there's no way my people can override what's going on today. The demons are so strong. I was listening to when I was laid up in the hospital because of this thing that went on from my vacation, the infection. And I was listening to the call. No, it was the sword, torch and the sword. And in it, at the last, it's saying about going out and trying to get people saved and bring in. He says, how are we going to get warriors to come in and start to do what the Lord wants to do? How are we going to build up the church? How are we going to do this? He says, you have to go after those people, these are people who are walking around with the demons sitting on their shoulders in the hordes of hell, war, where the demons are actually controlling them. And they are actually the army of the devil right now, because that's what they're doing. They're fighting so much against us. And he says, the problem is, in the old times, he said, before, if we could have got there before it got this strong, he said, you would have actually been able to do it quicker and easier, but now they're full grown. They've grown so much, they've been so powerful, now you have to even get more powerful to break this stuff down. To get in and break, you know, and basically when you start to show the love to these people, they will turn and they'll come back and they'll start to serve God. And that through that whole process, even way before I was reading that and heard that, the Lord was saying, it's too strong for my people. I'm going to step in and do what I have to do. I'm going to break it down. I'm going to give them an opportunity to say it and do things differently. And I'm thinking, wow. So what's happening is there's a season right now that we're in. The season is because the arrow's been shot. God is starting to move. I'm hearing some people saying that the signs and wonders are happening like amazing. I've talked with Cheryl. She says it's amazing that the healings that I'm getting by praying to people and going that way. She said she was praying for this one pastor that knew them, Thurman and Cheryl, very well. And they said that what was going on was he had heart problem and some blood disease. And he said as she prayed, somebody seen the gold come down and go right into his arm, and like an injection into the blood, and his blood was totally cleansed, and his heart was starting to be better. He was totally healed, a miraculous healing. Not just a healing, but an actual miracle. And I mean, they were so excited about that. And from then, she's starting to see more and more. She says, she's always been saying, the glory clouds are going to fall. The glory clouds are going to fall. And when the glory clouds fall, people are going to get healed. Things are going to happen. Things are going to start going. And she's been saying that for over a year. And she kept saying, when's it coming? When's it coming? I says, well, it's coming this year sometime, but I won't guarantee you when. Because I've always felt that in my spirit, that God is going to have a season to where we're going to be blessed in such a way. And that's what that arrow. And I says, you know, when I started going this way, I'm thinking, wow, and the Lord brought me back to that very prophecy. And I says, I've heard that, and I've stood on it, and I believed it, that the arrow was coming, that things were going to happen, that the evils were really going to start to be destroyed because of everything they've been doing, that God's going to start to destroy them, and then he's going to come up and he's going to start to make some things happen. So I just sit there and I'm saying, wow, this is amazing. But then I went and I was into a place where, as I was going that way, we had because the 2024 election came, immediately God started to restore back and destroy what was done in those 4 years. That's what you're starting to see. That's what you're starting to walk and see what's going on. There's a culture war that is trying to happen. The enemy is trying to change the culture to evil, to destroy anything good. But God is going to restore that culture back. And this is what we're all about today, is talking about why and how are we going to do that. Wow. Father, I bind up all demonic spirits. I bind up everything that's going on. There's a heaviness that's been here, been trying to go. I'm fumbling going through this, and I wasn't planning on doing that. But I know, Lord, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I know what you're giving me is right. And I know that as we go this way, you're going to bring forth revelation knowledge. And it's not just through me. As I said, I'm not the teacher. You are. And I want you to take and start to teach and show your children exactly what's going on, because every one of us has a big part. That's why I talk about Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Talk about that a lot. That's actually what I consider the church. If you look at Ephesians 4, that is the church. Because when Jesus went down, it's all about one God, one Holy Spirit, one God the Father, one hope, one calling. Your calling and your gifting. And what happens is you go on down through there, it says that Jesus, when he died, he rose to complete what was going on, but he also had to descend to the hell first and then come up to do that. And then he gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And they have not been removed. They're still there. And there's a reason. I've always hit it real hard because of perfecting. A lot of times people have never been perfected by getting rid of the hurts, the pains, all the things that are going on inside. We need all kinds of people working in their giftings together. If we can't get people to walk together in their giftings, what I can't do, somebody else can do. And if they aren't there, then we've got a hole in what we're trying to achieve. And that's what this is all about, trying to get people into your gifting, into your calling. Getting you to think about, in this season, God needs you more than ever before. He needs you in a way and prepared to step out and do what you have to do. You might say it's impossible. No, it's not. If you go with God, he'll do it. He'll make it happen. I've sat here and I've been looking, and we've talked about this a lot with the board and some other people, and we're saying, where are the healings? Why aren't we getting people healed left and right? Why aren't people getting saved left and right? Where are the people at? What's going on? Why is there? Well, we've just been frustrated by what's going on. And I kept going after that, and I'm thinking, Lord, I've been seeking really hard to find out a lot of that, and some of the Lord has showed me a lot of things going on that I need to make things happen. But we've been doing this since 2003, and I'm just being honest with you. And you can see where we're at. We got a building that we can't afford with the people that we've got here. But God can, and he affords it all the time. He pays for it all the time. It's always the finances that are there to make it happen. But it would be infeasible to think of the people that we have here to be able to have this type of a building. I've even had people say, why do you need this type of a building? You don't need this building. All you need is just home groups. I've had that happen too. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's possible. You know, we started out in the home, and we built up from there. There's just a lot of things going on that I kept going through and kept going through and kept going through. And the Lord brought it back to me. We were at a church one time, and an apostle from Florida was there. And I believe in apostles, as the Lord put me in an apostle gift, has given me an apostle gift, and I've been walking as an apostle. And what happened was, he was there, and I mean, that guy was amazing with things he was saying and doing. It just awesome, because whatever he said, it's just like the Holy Spirit was, whoosh, just got it right there. And he talked about how they took and they sent the 12 out in with Egypt to look in the promised land. And came back, was it Caleb and Jacob? Or Joshua, which one was it? I forget right now. Huh? Joshua. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. Okay, they came back and they were in agreement that they could take the land. Everybody else said, oh no, they're giants, we're in trouble. Pow! That's usually what the church does. I remember a guy that I was playing a part of in Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. We'd seen a section here, Sarah played it the other day. And I was playing the man that, you know, his son was there, and we're driving down a car and we're getting a wreck, and we're talking about how he almost went down front and gave his life to Christ, you know, at church. And his dad says, oh, no, don't worry about it. Mom's got enough religion for all of us. We'll be perfectly fine. Well, after the crash, they end up going to hell or to heaven, found the angel up there with a name, and he says, oh, no, I messed up. He says, why? And the devil came and took him and his son into hell. I played that play, and the man that was playing the devil got into the scene, into it too hard, because he came up and he grabbed my hand and jerked my head, or grabbed my head hair and jerked my head back. Thanks, man. Almost lost him. He about broke my neck. Praise God he was there, because the only reason my neck wasn't broken, because he was really into this thing. Well, in that meeting, there was a man, that was there. He got saved because of that scene. I know that because I've talked with him, worked with him. He then took, and after he got saved, within a few months, he says, we need to go and get people saved in the schools. You got to go to the schools. They said, and everybody in the church says, you can't go to schools. The law says you can't go to schools. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's what they were doing. You can't go here. You can't go there. He says, why can't you go there? He says, well, you just can't. It's the law. They won't let you. Well, he determined to do it. And he went and he started to just check and find out exactly what's going on, and found out if the children went home and then came back and had a letter that they could come back after the school was closed. The insurance was off. So they were not reliable for anybody coming back on this land, on their land. That was one of their things. So that's what happened. They took and had all the kids bring papers so they all were approved. So they waited until the school was closed, the kids went home, and there was a time where the kids came back, and they started having these great children revivals. In fact, they had many parents that came. They even got into a junior high class. They were going like wildfire. This man got saved within 6 months, was going into the schools when the church says, we can't do it. This is what the Lord is saying. We need to change those theories. We need to change our mindset. We need to see we've been so ingrained by religion, we got to get it out and get the Holy Ghost in here. We got to let the Holy Ghost show us new ways and new understandings and new ways of doing that. And that's why while I was laying, you know, in the hospital, and I was looking at all these things and seeing all the stuff that needed to be done and why this isn't happening and why that isn't happening and all this other stuff, that's when the Lord, before I started this meeting, you know, last night or the night before, it was just lately, he brought that back, and I know I'm jumping all over the place. That's what prophets do. They have big pictures, and it's hard to follow them sometimes because they flop, 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 flop all over the place. My wife will guarantee you that one because of what happens. But the whole process was he was talking about these two men back there that went into the land, and all of a sudden he came back, and they said, yes, we can take them. And he actually did examples. He went over here, and he stood right there, and he says, I need two young men. So they brought two young men up to represent these two men that went into the enemy's camp and said they could do it. And he says, okay, now. He says, I want you to go sit down. He went sit down. He says, then he went over, he says, 40 years later. He put his foot back down, slammed it on the ground. He says, now, he says, I need two old men, older men. So they got two older men that came up. He says, God's timing never changed. If God wanted to do it back here, God's going to do it over there. It is never going to change. It might be time before it gets to where it has to be. It might have been hindered because of the people that didn't have the faith to go into Israel or into the promised land. It took 40 years, but again, God gave those same two men the ability to go in and take the land. It was just blew me away. Here was the young men. And they had to wait 40 years, but God came back and said, now, the same two men could do the same thing. What are you supposed to be doing that you haven't got done yet? I know what I've been supposed to do and I haven't got done. And that's what the God's been saying. It is time. He's going to start to make some things happen. And we're going to start to get in there and start to say, don't worry about the time or what you haven't done or what hasn't happened. Look at what God wants you to do and start to focus on that and start to do it and let God complete what he started to begin with. I don't know if that's talking to anybody. Talk to me. It sure talked to me. Because there's so much going on. I know we've talked some issues about, you know, there's been so much that's happened in your life. It's like I said, there's been a time where I really felt strong that I've been cheated. You know, I was divorced. I lost my first son the hour and a half after he was born. I lost the business I was going to be with my dad for the rest of my life. All these things started to happen. Everything started to fall down. I felt really cheated. And then I did have a son. And then through the divorce, because of it didn't go very well, I ended up more or less having to, for the best for his understanding, was to give him up for adoption. It's just a bad, bad situation. And I just felt that if I did that, he'll be able to survive, and he did. He's doing awesome now because I did that. He got himself adjusted. He's a Christian. He's going to church. He's got a good family, and one day we'll be up in heaven and we'll know him. We didn't really have a good relationship. We still talk once in a while, but very seldom. And it's like he wants me there, but he doesn't really want me there. I feel cheated sometimes, like this should have never happened. But the Lord is saying through one prophet that I've been listening to about time. He says, you don't go back in time, because if you start going back and looking at all these things that you got cheated from, if you start looking at all the things that happened, all the things that didn't get done in this place, in what we thought should have happened, how it should have happened, what it went, where this is in your life, in your family life. No, you start to look forward. God doesn't look behind, he looks forward. And it's time to start to look forward in these next few years. It's time to start to see where should we go. How are we going to achieve what the Lord is wanting? Because he can. He's given you the ability to do it. He's given you all the things that you need. All you have to do is start to see and understand what's happening. I know from my knees, they were telling me I've got to wear these wraps on my legs the other day because my legs are all real bad. And otherwise, they'll just always have sores opening up all the time. I'm saying, no, that's not true. And I have bone-on-bone knees, so it's really hard to stand on them, and especially since all that happened and everything else is going, but I'm up and going. It's hard sometimes when we make it. But again, I've been watching God move in such a way. I've been listening to some people about healing that I had to renew my mind again. I understood healing. I prayed for people. I was at a church here in Des Moines, and we were praying on the with the elders. We were the others, you know, because we went there and we prayed for the assistant. We wanted to see, I said, we'd love to pray for people if we can pray for up front with everybody. And of course, we weren't an elder, so we couldn't really do that until one time I prayed for the assistant pastor's son, and immediately he got rid of migraine headaches. Doctors couldn't do anything and said there's nothing wrong with him. Everything else, prayed for him, was gone. All of a sudden, he decided to allow me to talk. He talked to the assistant, the major pastor, and they allowed us to pray with the elders, being the others. And we were there beautifully, having a great time. People getting healed, set free, delivered. It was so simplistic until I got it educated. And the education came down when I was seeing people getting healed, but they were all losing them. They lost their healing. A lot of people lost their healing. Not all, but a lot. And I said, Lord, why are we doing this to get people healed if they're losing it? What is the purpose? And it just kind of bugged me, so I kind of backed down a little bit on doing that. Not saying I can't do it now, because I could, because we've done all kinds of different things through the years. But the whole process is now I'm sitting here with all this problem in my body. And he's starting to bring in a new understanding, a new direction, a new way of kind of doing things that's going to even increase and make things happen. I mean, I was looking for this prophet. The prophet prophesied about the years and what the years are going to be. I mean, I was amazed what he was talking about. And he's the one that's talking about don't look about the past, look about the future. If you're going to look about the past, you're going to allow the devil allow you to continue to be miserable and rotten. If you look at the future, God's going to bring you into a new place and you're going to start to do what you're called to do. That's the whole process. If you want to continue to look at the back, you can still say it that way. You can still be miserable. You can allow the devil to continue to destroy your life. Otherwise, you can go forward and start to change. And that's what the whole Holy Spirit was saying. It's just like when I seen that about the two that went into the land immediately. Even though it wasn't here, it was over there. God still allowed them to go because they had the faith to do it. It was some time in between, but it's still going to happen. And that's what I'm getting right now. Even everything that I'm doing here, and it hasn't happened, it is going to happen. It didn't happen back there the way I wanted. It is going to happen now because I'm getting determined to do what the Lord wants to do. And God is starting to change such a ways around, because in 2024 election, the arrow removed and destroyed the evil and has been destroying and will continue to destroy it. And the problem is that then all of a sudden, the wind is going to start to blow. That's what we're looking for, is the wind blowing. My eyes are even going crazy. I can hardly read these things. I'm thinking, what is going on here? Praise the Lord God, we're going to get through this anyway. So anyway, this is what's starting to come down, is God is going to start to increase blessings upon blessings, upon blessings, upon blessings. He's going to give us the ability to break down spiritual strongholds that we can walk in and start to bring people out easier than if he hadn't done that. And then prophecies that I've heard kept saying that he's going to come in, he's going to start going in, he's going to walk right into the homosexual, and he's going to start to bring them out. He says, I'm not going in with condemnation, I'm going in with love. I'm going to go in and love them, and I'm going to bring them out because the devil has stolen them. He said, those are some of the best songwriters. Those are some of the best people that are, you know, very creative and can do things. And the devil has stolen them. He's going to start to bring them back. I know we heard a long time ago that you'll be sitting here and you'll see people sitting in your churches that will have all kinds of tattoos and all kinds of weird things all over. But you got to love them because there was a time in their season they were here, but now they're over there. And things are going to happen. So there's going to be a lot of things coming, and a lot of things are going to change. And it's amazing what God is going to start to do for us to break these things down. Because of what happened, there was a great war against culture, and that is what we're seeing today with many of our protests. I've talked about that a little bit before. But you start to see these people wanted a culture of evil. They're producing evil. They're going against the law. They don't care about the law. They don't care what they want. They want to care how they get things, understand what they're doing. They're losing victory. They're losing their authority. They're losing what they want, the whole program that's going on. And this is what's happening. So we need to keep praying and believing and doing that and making seeing what God's going to do. You might say, why am I talking about this? Reason is the Lord is releasing a season of freedom and allowing us to achieve things that we could not achieve in the past. That's the key right there. The Lord is releasing a season in which we are going to achieve things that we could not achieve in the past because of the releasing and the removing of the evil. When you start to see that, it's going to be amazing. I have been hearing in the spirit that God had me run into a prophet of God that had given me the same thing in such detail, which we're talking about the years. Now, these are the years that he's talking about. The Lord said in 2022, on this side, see, there's a breaking. There's 2020. You know, okay, it was back in 2022 is when they said this. But see, there's going to be, and this thing's happening with Errol. And he said, on the side we went, we need to establish what we want. In other words, get this, like I said, I'm having a real hard time with this one. There's things that God is establishing that we need to take and establish. God cannot do it without us, without you, without his children doing what they're called to do, Christian, who love God. Gifts, you got a gift and a calling. A gift is one that you were born with. That is Jeremiah 1:5. He says when you were born, he says he knew you before you were born. He formed you in the womb, and then he anointed you. He gave you anointing to make it and go from there. Then what happened was he gave you a calling. And nobody's ever really told me much about it, but I kept praying. I asked the Lord what's going on, but I seen it happening in real life. There was a pastor, a senior pastor of a church, and he had a calling. I mean, he had a gifting for pastors. He loved working with pastors. He would minister to pastors. He would work with pastors. He didn't really do too much with the sheep or the people of the church. He had other pastors that did that. But then all of a sudden, his biggest thing was salvation. And I said, wow, Lord, If he's got all this about pastors and he's got all these people in this church, what's about the salvation? And he said, because that's his calling. And I found out that he had been around his father. His father was a very big salvation. He was all about salvation. So he grew up around salvation. He had a heart for salvation. Your calling is what's in your heart. What do you really want to do? How are you going to use your gifting to achieve what you want? There's things that you really want in your heart for the Lord. And I put it this way. I'm an apostle. The Lord put me in an apostle in 2002. 2002, he taught me exactly what apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is. And then he says, now I want you to start Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship in 2003, since he told me all these things. And he says, what that all comes down to is I'm an apostle, that's my gifting, but I have a calling for the body of Christ. That's what it's about. I want the body of Christ to be so enamored by the love of God, so filled with God, so filled with the Holy Spirit, so filled with the understanding of the kingdom of God, and moving in the power and might that God has for his body. That's my calling. That's why I push that way for that much. But you'll find somebody that has a great gifting, but they'll use that for another reason, because their calling is different. That's why the main senior pastor was using it for evangelists. He had the biggest church this side of the Mississippi for evangelism. It was always about evangelism. It was always giving to evangelism, the most money given for evangelism, because of his calling. But his gifting was good, too, because he helped many pastors. But see, that's what it's about. There's a gifting and calling. You have both, according to Ephesians 4. You can go back and look at it and see what's going on. And this is what the Lord says. He wants you to get that to where you start to understand and move in those areas and start to do what you're supposed to do. But I ran into that prophet, and the prophet said this. You know, he says, because of 2022, he said in 2022, 23, on this side, in other words, things have changed since 2024. Things have changed since 2024. Look what's going on. Look what Trump is doing. Look, things are changing. And see, God is, it's more, people are turning more towards God than they have before. People are giving up. You know, they used to believe this or believe that because they were forced into it. They just went along with it. They had to. Now all of a sudden they're starting to change because it's changing. There's a changing of the culture. There's changing of guard, you might say. And I believe God is behind that, moving that way. He said, but we must establish what we want. In other words, all these things that are starting to change, we have to establish a godly principle and walking and working and getting people into the understanding of who God is and what's going on. He says, in 2024 is the open door. 2024 is the open door. 2025 is the year to be alive. 2025 is the year to be alive. He said 2026 is a year of the fix. And I don't know exactly what the fix was, but I have a feeling there's a lot of things that God's going to start to do in that 2026 to fix and repair and bring things back into order. 2027 will look like heaven. This is what the Lord said with him. This guy, I mean, he's pretty strong in doing, listening, and hearing what the Lord's saying. He says, and it will be just, and 2029 will be just fine. But 2030 is up for grabs. The church must use the time to change the culture. The church must get back to the revelation that they used to have in the beginning. If the church does not secure the culture, it will be lost back to what it was. So we got to 2030, according to what he is saying, what the Lord was telling this prophet, that we have to go that way. I'll hit that one more time, just if you want to write that down, because I had a hunt for this thing. I was hunting over and over and over. I took almost a day and a half trying to find this this place where he was talking, And I was giving up on it. I said, I'm not going to say anything, Father. Apparently you don't want me to say it. And then I was sitting there, and I went to my Google, and here it is, the prophet, and it said the years. So it was exactly what I needed to hear. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is awesome. So that's why I went back, and I went that way. But it said 2024 is the open door. That's when things start to open up and things start to change. 2025 is a year to be alive, because there's going to be great things coming. 2026 is a year of the fix. 2027 will look like heaven. 2028 is a new gate. 2029 will be just fine, and 2030 is up for grabs. The church must use this time to change the culture, and the church must get back into the revelation that they have used to have in the beginning of salvation and loving one another and working together. The church has to change. Things have to come back. We are the church. We have to get rid of a lot of our religious thinking that we've had, change our minds, work on getting our culture back and doing that. That's why, would you put up Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians 4:2. This is why I hit this all the time. So important. That's New Living Testament 2 and I'll also go 3. I put this down here because, see, in the time, we need unity in the body of Christ. That's what we have to do in those years, is get unity of the body. And that's why I go with Ephesians 4 all the time. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Now, you don't have love if you don't have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is love. And what happens is love, the Holy Spirit is going around trying to shed love all over. He's trying to teach you and show you and guide you and direct you and bring you through, but sometimes we just don't want to listen. We don't want to hear. We don't want to change. But this has to happen. That's with the body of Christ. Because how many times do you know a people in the body are humble and gentle and patient with each other? That's just right there. That'll tell you right there. Are you really walking in the Holy Ghost? If you're not walking, if you're doing anything other than being humble, gentle, and patient with each other, you're not walking in the Holy Ghost. You're not letting the Holy Spirit move in your life. You need to change. Very, very important. Very, very important. Lord, just bringing it back to me, and I'm going to say it again. There was a time I was really praying and seeking the Lord, and he all came up to one thing. They always talk about the fire that's going to be testing all of our works. The fire that's going to test our works once we get to heaven. And also the 10 virgins, the same thing. It talked about oil, the Holy Spirit. And the Lord started dealing with me and really hitting me hard, because I hit that scripture really strong about, you know, you have to be humble, gentle, and patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love, the love that God has given you to walk through there. And if you aren't, then you need to change. Even in the midst of anger and frustration. That's why Jesus kept his mouth shut. Sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. That's not always easy. And when you're mad and upset and everything else is going wrong, everything's going wrong. Everything. It seems like nothing goes right. And that's very hard. But you can if the Holy Spirit is helping you. Because what happens is the Lord was saying, what he's going to be testing by fire is how much love you used in everything that you did. Not by how much great works you've done, but was it done in love? Was it done with the love? And the same thing with the Holy Spirit, with the 10 virgin. The bottles is the oil. Yes, the oil is fine. But how much of the Holy Spirit were you allowing to work in you? How much love could you receive from the Holy Spirit to allow that to happen? You know, when you love one another, then, you know, if you love your brethren, then the world will know that you're of God. This is one thing that we really missed in the religion. We talk about a lot, but we don't really talk whole much about love. Love, love, love. It's the love of God. It needs to flow even more and more and more. And I just put that back up there because that's what the Lord just brought back. He said, I wanted to remind people about that. It's so important to walk in love for the Holy Spirit. God is love. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. Everything is about love. People don't always think that because of a lot of things that people have taught and seen. It's kind of like God's a bad God sitting up there on this throne, and he's just going to beat you up and cause you problems whenever you mess up. That's not it. We just don't really sometimes have the great understanding about God and what's going on. He wants the best for you. He wants to give you more than you have. He wants in this season to open up the storeroom and give you what is in your storeroom. He said he made a storehouse, a storeroom, before you were born. He made it because he knew you're going to need this stuff. It's just like when I was listening to Jesse DePlanta, it just blew me away. I said there's a lot about what he was saying when he went to heaven, because he said, I always wanted to go to heaven. And God gave him the opportunity by taking an angel and bringing him up to heaven. He went through heaven. And there's so much he was talking about, just blew me away. But there's a point where it got to the point. Jesus says, go show him his mansion. So the angel took him down to show him the mansion. And he got in there and he says, oh, wow, this claw type furniture. And just everything was, oh, it's so beautiful. Everything's so beautiful. He was going by one area and he said, they got condos here too? He says, would you like to have one, Jess? If you'd like to have a condo, we'll give you a condo. I said, what? And then he turned around, and when he was in there, he's talking about all this furniture, and he says, yes, but there's so much more in here that God knows that you wanted. You don't even, never knew or asked. He says, because he wants to fulfill all your desires. And God spoke something to me. That's not in heaven. That's on earth. I want to fulfill your desires on earth. What is your desire? If your desire is not lining up with the Word of God and loving God and receiving the blessings from God, change this year. Change. If you don't think you'll be healed, change. If you don't think you can receive what's going on, change. Let God start to do something. He wants to change you in such a way that when they look at you, it's the same thing. And the Lord just brought that back. We used to go around and rent houses all the time because we can't afford a home. And we didn't want an apartment, so we always rented a home, a house. A lot of times we'd fix them up and they'd sell them. So we moved a lot just because of that. But the whole process was, that was my thinking. I was thinking I couldn't do it. And one day the Lord says, I want to bless you. And I said, Father, I've always said I don't want money. I just want to serve you. I don't care about money. I just want to serve you. He's given me opportunities I missed because I had that attitude, stinking attitude. And when the Lord said, I want to bless you, so when somebody sees you, you can say, this is what my God did for me. Can you say, this is what my God did for me? You know, there's some things that were, you know, it's like our house. We went there and many people came in and we said, this is what God did for us. He said, he gave us this home because we couldn't do it. I didn't believe it, but I start believing him because his desire was to give me something that I couldn't accept because I didn't believe it. I have to change my thinking. That's what this year is. Change your thinking. So God can set you free and do you something that you never thought you could do. He's ready. He's willing. He's got all of heaven ready to come for you and work with you and bring you through. But you got to start working on yourself. You got to start to renew your mind by the Word of God. Really, what's the truth? What am I missing? Why am I? You know, if you ever went to, do you have the New Living, the NIV? It's the New Living, not Testament, it's the other one, NIV. On Ephesians, was it, not Ephesians, it's Corinthians 13, the love chapter. NIV. Because I want to show you. I turned around and I said, Lord, how am I going to teach about love? When I started getting to that point, I said, I don't know how to teach about love. I says, there's so many people that I love to tease those people. I love to beat them people up. I love to cause problems over here because they love to do that. I says, how are we going to teach people about your love? And I went back there and I seen in the love chapter, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, one does not boast, and one is not proud. Just leave it there. And I says, Lord, what I got to do? He says, ask him. Are you patient with yourself? Are you patient with yourself? Are you kind to yourself? Do you envy on anything? Well, I'd really like to have that. You know what, envy? I got a car out there. Somebody might come up and say, that's a nice car. I want that car. That's envy. That's covetous as well. It gets you in trouble. That's sin. I see a car going by, a truck going. I say, I'd love to have something like that. I never say that one because that's covetousness. But envying, I could envy having that. I could envy having, you know, the neighbor has a dog. We don't have a dog. I could envy the dog. You got something that you envy? You don't love yourself. If you can't love yourself, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbors either. You just broke a commandment, as far as I'm concerned. That's sin. This is how serious it is. Such simple, but we got to renew our minds. So if you're not patient with yourself, you need to change. If you're not kind with yourself, you better change. And if you envy anything, you better change. And if you boast about stuff, you better change. And if you're proud, there's a difference between prideful and proud. So I want you to understand, you can be pride, you know, you can be proud of something, but if you become proudful, immediately you're showing off. You're saying, "Hey, look at me, I'm good." It's like when I was praying one time, and the devil came up and said, "Oh, look at you, you're doing pretty good." Oh yeah, I said, "Get out of here!" He said, "Devil, I'm not going to be prideful. Not me as God. I'm not taking His glory for nothing." But see, we don't do this. We don't perfect ourselves in the love of God and let the love of the Holy Spirit show that across. Oh, no, we got to sit back and this is what it's about. This is coming directly from heaven because that's not in my notes. This is what He was to bring back to us, to show us. I've talked about it. I've worked on it, and that's what it's about. But the thing, realize, we as a body of Christ working together in unity can bring back the culture of Christianity, the culture of love, the culture of peace, the culture of loving one another, the culture that we need to do, that God wants. That's what He said when I was on vacation. It just reminded me again. We're on vacation. Man, that wasn't a tough vacation. But anyway, I mean, we had a good time, but there were some tough things. But the first night He says, I want you to start helping to bring, the Bible says, let the kingdom of heaven be as, you know, I'm trying to get my brain going because my brain's going crazy today. The devil does not want me to put this out. Jesus says, love the Lord, you know, was it when he says, show how to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what He told me. He says, I want my will. I want you to get my will being shown on this earth. Have you ever thought about, are you showing His will on this earth? Are you walking in what His will would be? Would He be happy with what you're saying and doing? Is that really what he wants? I don't know. You have to ask God. The Holy Ghost can show you. He can teach you. He can work on that. And the last is, I'm just going to put it this way. I came to an understanding that the first thing the devil will do is try to get you to believe that you're no good, that God doesn't love you. God's angry at you, and you're too bad and not worthy to receive anything from God when you first give your life to God. He'll fight you. That's the first warfare. He'll put fear in you, doubt in you, get you going. That's the first thing. When you overcome that, then he'll come over and he'll use others to condemn you and tell you how bad you are and how rotten you are, and God will never use you and never know if he'll like you. You're just miserable. You just think he likes you. No, he doesn't. He'll get others to do that. But when you overcome that, then he'll start putting sickness and disease on you. Well, I'm not worthy of God's love and peace and joy. You know, that's what they're trying to do with me. And I'm just saying, the Lord's given me some stuff. When I was looking up that one guy about all those years, I ran across another man. I don't even remember his name. I've never seen him before. He said, speak to the blood. And I went and I started to listen to that. I know I go on to YouTube and look up and speak to the blood. I don't know the guy's name. Should have wrote it down. But he took it and he said, there's a something in the blood that you start speaking to it, and it literally comes in and starts to change your whole body. I was talking to listening to one guy. He says there was several different times he put it. He says in a very short period of time, your whole body can be healed by using the Word of God. And I've been listening and hearing and seeing. I've heard it. I had to renew my mind, because I understand that. I walk that way. I see that. I've helped people. But I'm having to redo my mind. It's a little different. It's a little different understanding and thinking. So I want you to start saying that it's possible, but you have to really want it. It's all about your desire. It's all about what you want to have. It will happen. But the sickness, it will come upon you because you don't feel worthy. You don't have, you know, you're not, you shouldn't, you just, you deserve being miserable and rotten, no good, and God wouldn't heal you. Then, the last one, the worst warfare that the devil can do you, he backs off and he doesn't do nothing to you. You don't see him. Things start going good. Everything's perfect. Wow. Isn't it great? And all of a sudden, whack, pulls the something right out, you know, the rug out of underneath you. You fall down and go wham, knock you clear off the side, and you're in trouble again. So when you come to that point where I'm talking about these years, and that's why the Lord told me about that again, is because in those years when things get so good, because I believe they will, and when they do, don't turn your back, because he's there. He's waiting for that moment. He can come back in and knock you out. So just be prepared and ready. The more love you're walking in, the better off you are. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We just give God glory in what's happening. We thank you. I hope I wasn't too hard today on anybody, but it's a season to have fun, to enjoy, to allow God to do what he wants to do in this season. He wants to change past situations. He wants to change us to the point to where we can go forth and do great, magnificent things. But the fact is, just know God's ready to use you, to help you, and to meet every one of your needs and change your life around so that you can go be the person that you need to be. Because there's one more thing the Lord just said, and she was thinking, he showed me. I had a guy one time that was teaching about people dying. We have a right to raise them back up. And he was teaching on one of the scriptures that talked about, I'm trying to think, my brain isn't working quite right, I apologize on that one, but it said, is this in Proverbs or Psalms, and it said, precious is the death of our saints. Precious is the death of God's saints. And I thought about that. And he was speaking. He says, you would think, oh, it's so precious. And so many times you hear somebody dying. Oh, they went to heaven and God just loved them so much. He just took them home early. Blah, 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 blah. But you know, one of the things, if you go back in the concordance and start to look it up, it says costly. You were put on this earth for a reason, and you need to complete what you were put on this earth for. And if you're not able to do it like I'm at right now, and I've got to change this because I'm believing God's going to heal me and bring me around, and I have no doubt in my mind, and it will happen shortly. And through that process, it's going to come about, it's going to happen, and through that, I'm listening, I'm watching, I'm hearing. And why? Because the love of God is on me. He says, I put you in this position. I've kept you in this position. I kept you here. He kept the place open when it didn't seem feasible. But the fact is, he did it. He wants us here. He needs us here. It is too costly for us not to do what we're called to do. Every single one of you, you might say, I don't have much to do. And that comes down to the last thought I'm going to say is, there was a story one time we were at a meeting, and this guy was saying, he was telling his church, he says, everybody has something that you can do for God. And this one lady came up and she says, I don't have anything. And he talked to her about it, and she just didn't seem like she had much. But she had a cat. And she took, and they started to work to go to the prison. As you well know about prisons. He went to the prison. They got approval to bring the cat in on visitation days. And she would bring that cat in, and these prisoners would go up and start to pat the cat. It was just something about it. And then all of a sudden, there was one man. They said, we want you to take this back by the cell, because there was a young, the man, he was a big guy. He got mad and killed somebody with his hands. And he took him back by the bars. And all of a sudden, they just held the cat like that. And the man came up and he started to pet the kitty. And all of a sudden, he says, pretty kitty. He says, that's the first time he's ever said anything. God can use whatever you have. And I pray that you use it to the effectiveness so that we can receive God's culture back into this United States. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this blessed time. We give you full glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for what you're doing and how you're going to do it. You know all things. I put out what you wanted me to put out, and I pray that I wasn't wrong or off on anything. And if there is, please correct me. But I believe, when I heard that, it was just so strong that I believe this is a season that you have a season of harvest. And the only way that we can harvest the people, prepare them, to make them without spot or wrinkle, so that your son can come back and take them back home. Because you said your bride is coming, your son is coming after a bride without spot or wrinkle. And I believe this is a season of harvest. It is your, it is what you died on the cross for. And I thank you, Father, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you glory, Father, in everything that you're doing. Just bless each and every one. Keep them all safe. Keep Doug and Sue Jean on their travels. Keep them safe. Keep everything going right. Let the cars be good. No pop tires, as Rebecca would say. Just nothing happening. Keep them safe. Put the angels around them. Let everybody they meet be fine and well. And Father, just bless them, bless them, bless them. Bless everybody in the name of Jesus. So we meet again in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Keith, I have one.